We have been moving through the Gospel of Matthew. If you're just now joining us, we started a journey through the Gospel of Matthew, the whole Gospel of Matthew, and this has been a church-wide event. We've had questions that have been available for discussion for the small groups. Our Sunday schools have been picking up some of the scriptures that we haven't been able to touch in here, and we started back in Christmas with the birth story of Jesus. And the goal, the journey, is to walk through the whole gospel all the way to just take us right up to Easter. And so this series, the whole big Matthew series, ends the Sunday before Easter, and we start a brand new series, Easter Sunday. So we are in the last track of Matthew. I described it last week or the week before that we are, if you're running a 400 in the track meet, which is one lap around, when you come around that last corner, that's when you just pour it on. You can see the finish line, and you just you give it all you got, and more than you got, you give anyway. And you just go, and you shoot for the finish line. That's where we're at in the Matthew series. We've talked about how God uses imperfect people in his perfect plan, and he's invited you into that, and it's your choice. We talked about how 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, and he left these footprints of righteousness. Footprints of salt, which is hope. Footprints of light, which is truth. Safe footprints. Footprints of safety. Footprints of security. And all we have to do is step into those footprints. Walk where those footprints went. And we then inherit Jesus' righteousness. Because we're walking in the footprints of righteousness. We inherit that hope, that truth. And then we moved on to the next series called Share. And that was the understanding that those footprints went to people who were in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus. People that needed to the kingdom to bring hope. We live in a world that is hopeless, empty. And the hope that they get is often empty hope, hope that lets you down. You get excited. It looks like things are going great, and then the bottom falls out. Something happens. That's worldly hope. We have hope from these footprints that we walk in that's real hope. Amen. Real truth, black and white, reality, a real world view, light that can light our eyes so that we can see things better. And we understood in the last series that it is our responsibility as those who know Jesus Christ to be ambassadors to the world around us. As we walk in those footprints, you cannot walk in those footprints and not walk to people in need. If you're not walking to people who need to hear the gospel, then you're not walking in those footprints and you've deceived yourself. If you're a member of the kingdom, you share the kingdom. If you're under the lordship of the king, you follow the king. That's just what you do. And as we entered into this series, this final series called Let Me Illustrate, I told you at the very beginning, these are some tough subjects as we round that corner in that 400-yard sprint. Or 400 meter, correct? Track runners? Where's Gina? 400 meters, right? Okay, metric system there. And the first one was a tough one. It was forgiveness. And we hit that one head on. Because Jesus leaves no room for interpretation there. He leaves no margin. We, if we're kingdom people, forgive. It's black and white. That's what we do. Last week we talked about the reward that we get, and oftentimes we forget about how awesome that reward is, how great that reward is. And I had people yesterday or this past week say, "Were you on drugs last week?" I mean, you were like a chipmunk. You were flying. And I tell you what, and I wanted that message to be energetic. Because I was talking about our reward, and that's exciting, amen. And you know, if you thought I was on drugs, and last week was the first week, and even this morning, I had a vanilla Coke Zero. Man, those things are great. Last week, I had nothing. It was all water. All that you saw was the Spirit. So I could quote Peter. And he says, "We're not drunk. Not as you think we are. What you're witnessing is the Holy Spirit." And that was last week. We've got a gift of eternal life to be able to spend eternity with God. That's our reward. We have to keep our eyes focused. We have to keep our sights on the reward. That brings us to this week's subject. All through the book of Matthew, we've seen this kind of theme just kind of reoccur. And the understanding that we have responsibility, a lot of responsibility, and that's what the New Testament is about. That's what the New Covenant is about. Under the old covenant with the old law, you had regulations and rules, and you really didn't have to be very responsible. You just had to do what you were told. Some responsibility, but not quite what we have now. Now we have Jesus Christ. We have freedom. We can do whatever we want in the footprints as long as we stay in the footprints, and the footprints go there. And there's a lot of responsibility of walking in those footprints. There's no fences, there's no gates, no laws, no brick walls, no chains. It's freedom of choice. And we choose to walk in those footprints. We choose to share, or we choose not to share the kingdom with others. And so this morning, we look at some parables where Jesus says, let me illustrate your choices. Let me illustrate the choices you make on a daily basis. And I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. I'm just going to read some scripture. Is that all right? Can we do that in church? I want you guys, if you want to, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. That's where we're going to be. First book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you find Mark, Luke, or John, then just turn backwards. If you're in a bunch of names you don't recognize, keep turning forwards. Matthew chapter 25. And these are three parables, and this is a fairly lengthy read. But I want you to do something with me. And maybe you don't want to look at it. Maybe you don't want to read it. Maybe you just want to close your eyes. Don't go to sleep, though. Some of you guys probably haven't had your Coke Vanilla Zero yet. But I should get endorsed, shouldn't I? I should get some money for that. How many times I say Coke in a sermon? But I want you to venture out into a dreamlike sequence with these parables. Parables are a different kind of a story. You have allegories, where in an allegory, every piece is a symbol. Every piece has meaning. Parable's not an allegory. You have tales, which are just stories for fun. You've got real life stories that are used as an example. I've used a few of those for my life. I get pretty transparent up here at times, reveal some of the stupid things that I do. And those can serve as illustrations, but parables, they sit alone. They sit on their own little pedestal and away from all these other different types of stories. And they're a story that is based on something that could happen, based on realistic things that do happen around, but it's just a story. And the goal of a parable is to come down and tell a spiritual truth. It's just really simple. So Jesus tells these parables, and Matthew, being a theme writer, he writes in themes. He's gathered these three together, all together. In fact, those of you guys who were in Sunday school, you got a little bit of chapter 24 and got a chance to kind of get a running start into 25. The parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were dumb as rocks, and, oh wait, that's okay, that's my version here. Five of them were foolish, and five were brunettes. I'll pull it together here. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. Lord, forgive me. God bless the pygmies in New Guinea. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Now, some of you might not understand what's going on with, you know, where's the bridegroom? Why are they waiting around? What's the deal with the torches? In that day, it was customary that what would happen is the groom, would get his little entourage of people, and he would leave his house, and they would travel over to the bride's house, and they'd have the wedding ceremony at the bride's house. Sometimes that could be a little private, a little more family-oriented. And then what they'd do is they'd take the whole party. I mean, everyone that was invited from the bride's house all the way back over to the groom's house, for the wedding festival, for the feast, for the celebration, for the food, for the DJ. See last week, the board, remember that? All right, that's what they were all going to. And so these 10 virgins, they were waiting for them to come by to find out where they were, to follow them to the groom's house to take part in this after party, this banquet. And so they were waiting, and then they heard the cry at midnight. Here they are, they're coming along, they're on their way. So they wake up, and it says, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Now, this is midnight, so they're going to have to go to like a 7-Eleven oil store, some joint that's open all night long. Good luck. And this wasn't selfishness on the part of the wise virgins. They simply didn't have enough. That's all there was to it. We can't break it down too much. So I don't want you to look at that and say, is God, ordaining selfishness? Not at all. Verse 10, but while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. That's harsh. Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Parable 1. Parable 2. Parable of the tenants, or talents. Pardon me. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. One he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. Now check this out, because, we know who this is. We know what the parable's talking about. This is God. He's the master. We're the servants. Listen to what he says and hear these words, not from me coming through a microphone and through the wires, and actually it's going over there through radio and then through wires and through speakers, but imagine this as being God speaking to you. Hear his voice this morning. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's, what's that word? Happiness. Come and share God's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. He's pleased with him. Then the man who received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Now, what he's saying about the master is he's saying, I know you're a good businessman. And we know people like this, don't we? They have the Midas touch. Anything they get involved in, it just becomes a successful business venture. They step into it, it becomes successful, it's making money. You look at things, they say, hey, I think I'm going to do this. And you're like, you're crazy. 10 months later, pow, they're making money. You guys, yes? We've encountered people like that. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? I know you're like this. So what I did was I hid your talent. He said, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I would harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Story 2. So the five virgins locked outside. This lazy, wicked, worthless servant thrown outside and added into it, into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this third story isn't quite a parable because it's just out there. Jesus kind of throws us a curve with this one. It's simply called the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all of his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will... Okay, so he was Son of Man, then he changed to a shepherd, then he changed into a king. Catching all this metamorphosis happening. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, the reward we talked about last week, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous, wait a minute, they were sheep. Now the righteous, see how it's not really a parable? It just kind of keeps shifting. It's really out there dream world stuff, all right? Pink Floyd's playing in the background. With me, Dan? Righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I think it's an interesting verse in Scripture. Hell was made for Satan and the angels. Hell was never made for man. Man chooses hell. It's not God being unjust. It's not God being cruel. It's not God being mean. Some people say, "I don't know how a loving God can send people to hell." People choose hell. He gives you a choice. Let me illustrate your choices. You choose heaven with God, eternity, or you choose hell. It's your choice. But it was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Three powerful parables. Well, two powerful parables and a powerful dream story. What do we take from this? I mean, the idea is that we need to be prepared, every one of them. Now, as you looked at Matthew chapter 24 in Sunday school, the idea of Matthew 24, the end part that you guys were studying, is the understanding that the day and the hour, we don't know when it's going to be, but we know it's going to be fast when he comes. Twinkly of an eye. No one's going to know, and then pow, it's going to be a surprise. I mean, even for us, the event's not going to be a surprise. When it happens, it's going to be, oh, I knew it was going to happen. All right, but we're still going to have a little bit of, oh, it's just going to come that fast. Now, these parables, stories, they kind of go a different direction. They say, you know, the event will happen quick, but it's long coming. There will be a wait. there will be a time that we wait. So far, it's been 2,000 years we waited for him to return. So you've got five virgins that prepare. They think. You've got two men, servants, who think about the time that we have here now and what we can do with it, with the things that we've been given. We've got people, sheep, not goats, who think about others and who think about their time here and how they can be used to do things for others. And we've got three very simple words, and this is going back old school. You guys want to go back old school with me? We're going old school. Preacher three. All right? And very simple. Three words I want you guys to remember today, and they're your main bullet points. The first one is think. Just think. And the bulletin is written in such a way that it's you doing the things that you should do. Every Sunday I stand up here and I take my job seriously. I believe I bring the words of God to you. And not because there's anything special about me, but I've got a responsibility to take God's word and help it to make sense in your life. So the bulletins are written in such a way that you are living the life that you should live. And so as you write those things down, think. Think. It's your choices. You got to think first. Think makes the difference between foolish and wise. Simply think. The five virgins, that they were foolish, they didn't think. They didn't think about what would happen or how long it could be. They didn't think about being prepared. The wicked, lazy, worthless servant, he didn't think about what he could do with his time here, with the money that he had as his master was off on a journey. The goats, they thought, but they thought about themselves. They didn't think about others. Think. You got to think. And this is basic. This is simple. And you might walk out here and say, you know what? I really didn't need that. But yes, you did. I need it. Every one of us need a reminder of the basics of what we need to be looking at as Christians. Think. It's the difference between being foolish and wise. Think about what's important. This Easter, our Easter sermon series is called My Bucket List. My Bucket List. And we're going to be showing some clips from the movie. And the idea of a bucket list, if you're not familiar with that term, it's a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket, before you die. It's a bucket list. I want you to start making your bucket list right now. Not right now. I want you to finish listening to the message, but starting this week. Make your bucket list. Send your bucket list in. If you want to be anonymous, just slip it in the office or go online and you can go to the suggest a sermon area and you can send an anonymous email there and you can send your bucket list there. But send your bucket list in. Email them to us, mail them to us so we can all benefit from each other and get ideas from each other. But when you start making a bucket list, I guarantee what's going to happen is the things that are important, they're going to rise to the top. When you say, what do I want to do before I die? The important things are going to be the things that you list. The things that aren't so important, they're going to be the things that fall to the bottom. You know, it's really sad. Most of us live our life in these things. We spend a majority of our time, a majority of our resources here, and not in the things that are really important. You want to be wise. Think about what's important. Think about what's important in your life. Think about the resources that have been left available to me. Think about what God has put in your hands. He gave the guy five talents. He gave the other guy two talents. He gave the other guy one talent. The guys that were out feeding, the sheep, the righteous, they were out giving food. They were out giving. They thought about what they had in their hands. You have resources. Every one of us have the resource of time. It's one of the resources we have. What do you do with your time? Some of you might say, well, I'm too busy to get involved in other people's lives. I'm too busy to share the kingdom. It's your choice to be too busy. It's your choice how you handle your time. It's your responsibility. It's a resource that's been given to you. Think about how you're going to use it. If you don't think about how you're going to use it, someone else is going to tell you how to use it, and you're going to be a slave. Think about your time. Think about your money. Think about the money you've got. Some of you have been blessed beyond what others have been blessed. And it's not because you are blessed and then you should have more and you should do more and you should build bigger barns, bigger storehouses, bigger places. You should, no. If you've been given more, it's so that you can give more. You've been given 5 talents. Make something of it. Think about what you've been given. You've been given skills, each and every one of you. You've got gifts. You've got talents, not the money talent, but you've got actual talents. Think about what you got. Think about what God has put at your disposal. And then the second word I want you to take with you today is very simple. Do. Think and do. Thinking is great. It makes a difference between wise and foolish. But if you're not doing anything about it, then the thinking process is wasted. Do is the difference between being productive and being lazy. When you're active, when you're doing things. Look at what Jesus Christ did. Watch those footprints. He was thinking and he was doing. Constantly doing. My life should be filled with verbs, not excuses. Amen. Too many of us are going to get to the end of our life and we're going to be right before the King and we're going to have a ton of excuses and no verbs. And that's wrong, my friends. That is wrong. I fill my life with verbs. Say that. Say, I fill my life with verbs. You should. You know you should. Actively doing things. Do. Do for the kingdom. I actively use God's resources left in my hands for productive service in the kingdom. Sheep and the goats, they used what they had to serve people. 5 talents, 2 talents. He turned 5 talents into 10 talents. The other guy turned 2 talents into 4 talents. He thought about what he could do, and then he did it. And he did it in service of his master. All the things that the sheep did to those that were the least of these, they did as if they were doing them to Jesus without even knowing it, but that's what it was. They were serving the master, and we know that because we've got these parables, we've got these stories. And so we can say, I actively use my resources for productive service for the kingdom. In James 4:17, I want to wait before we show it, because there are 2 verses, and oh, look at that. There are 2 verses in Scripture that just scare the bejeebies out of me. And they're both in this series. I told you, this is a hard series to do. It's a hard series to swallow. It's all just straight truth. And the first verse we covered 2 weeks ago, and that was, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. That's a scary verse. That's a tough verse. This other verse, James 4:17, is one of my other verses in Scripture that I hate to read because I know that it's going to call me accountable to so many things that I miss out on. And it's this verse right here. It says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do, and doesn't do it, sins. You know what you ought to do. You know the good you ought to do. And if you don't do it, then you're sinning. Plain and simple. It's black and white. And that verse kicks my tail every time I read it. And I think there are a ton of things that I think about. I am notorious for this. And it is a bad area for me. I think about a lot of great things to do for people. I think about a lot of things. And then I don't carry them out. I don't do it. And I get tired of hearing myself say, oh, I'll do that, or I'll get to that. I meant to do that, or I meant to. As I think about it, I don't carry it through. I had a friend that went into the hospital. I was going out of town Friday, and we found out about it on the way, and some other staff members took care of it. And I'm close to this family, and on Saturday, I thought, I was like, okay, I need to call them, wait till the kids go down so I can really talk and find out how things are going. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I was a goat. Someone was in need, and I didn't help. I was a goat. I sinned. That's the truth of the matter. You guys know how I feel about goats from last week. I don't like goats. They freak me out. And when I look in the mirror and I realize you're a goat, I get freaked out. I just want to be a sheep. Blah, blah, blah. Those of you guys who missed last week, we had a party in here. I seize every opportunity to build kingdom revenue. That's what happens when you think and you do for the kingdom. I seize every opportunity. If you seize every opportunity to build kingdom revenue, you won't have any room in your life for excuses. Your life will be filled with verbs, filled with action words, filled with things. And when you see the king at the end of your time here on earth, he's going to say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was without clothes. I was in prison. I was sick and you came and you took care of me. And you're going to say, when did I do that? Because you won't even think about it because you're so busy doing it. Building kingdom revenue. You know how you build kingdom revenue? Is you invest in people. Write that down. I invest in people. Because that's what my God did. Amen. Aren't you glad that God invested in you? When you make an investment, it is a risk every time. We got some financial people in the audience here? No? Yes? Yeah? Okay, there's one. Who else? I know we got some financial people in here. When you invest, it's a risk. You know? Think about God's risk and how he invested in you. God takes risks. He likes the guy who has five talents and invests them and risks them. Be interested to hear what that parable would be like if he came back and he invested the five and the economy went down. What would he say then? I think he'd say, well done, because the guy did what God would have done. Invest in people. It's risky. It is. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get stabbed in the back. You're going to get taken advantage of. But that's what our God does. And those are the footsteps we walk in. And that is our king. And we are part of his kingdom. So we act like his kingdom. And that means you invest in people. And that builds kingdom revenue. Invest in people. And that's what doing is about. And the third word I want you to leave with is please. Now, this word confused me when I first moved into the Cincinnati area. Because if you don't understand what someone says, they say please. You know, please. Where I come from down the South, please means you want something. Can I have that, please? So when people were saying, you know, and they'd say, please, what do you want? Is this an Ohio stick up? I don't know. Please. I want something. Okay. The word please this morning, it's not the please I want something. It's not the please I didn't understand what you said. It's the please that means that we are living to please our God in heaven. It means we are living in such a way that we want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Listen to those words. Have those words echo in your ear Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way through the week, all the way through the next month, through the next year, through the next 10 years, as you live out your bucket list. And know you are living with a focus that says, I want to hear someday, well done, good and faithful servant. Because when it all comes down, when you take everything into consideration, when you look at what's really important and what's really of value for your time and your money and your resources and your skills and all that you have here on earth, all of it, nothing compares. Nothing measures up to what you can do for the kingdom while you're on earth. In the end, pleasing God is all that really matters. It really is. He doesn't care what kind of car you drive or what your hairstyle is or if you wear white socks with black shoes. Praise God. He doesn't care if you listen to, you know, Rob Zombie while you're working on sermons. He doesn't care. He loves you. And all that matters is pleasing him. In the end, that's it. That's it. And that's not only for the future, but that's right here in the present. Right here in the present, all that matters, the only thing that matters, is pleasing our God in heaven. I tell you what, if you get that focus, and if you grab that from these three parables, these two parables in this story, and you take those three words with you, think, do, please, you will be wise, you will be productive for the kingdom, and you will learn what living is really about.